Well, thank the Lord for the amazing grace that He has bestowed upon us and given to us. And that grace sees us through all the trials and the testings of our life. That grace has brought us to knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And that grace will carry us home one day to be with Him forever and forever. I got a text this afternoon from Kenzie and said to tell everybody goodbye. They were planning on being here tonight. Had to make a trip to Nashville, and she said tell everybody that she loved us and would see us in May. And so pray for Kenzie and pray the Lord to bless her. Emily going back also this week. And so just remember those that are going to college. Ask the Lord to bless them in their work and their studies, and pray the Lord will use them in their life. If you would tonight, take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John, and we'll be reading in chapter number 3. 1 John chapter 3, and we'll read beginning in verse number 1, read down verse number 4, and then we'll skip over to verse number 14. And we'll look tonight about the subject that John uses is the subject of love, the love of our Lord, love of us to our Lord, and love for each other. And so these verses give us a little bit of detail of that particular subject matter that he deals with, not only in 1 John, but also 2 and 3 John together. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we His sons, or the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law." Verse number 14. "We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." The book of 1 John has the subject matter, as also as I mentioned a while ago, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, all three of those little books have as its main subject matter the subject of love. It's either God's love to us, our love to God, or our love toward each other. And John deals with that very good, and gives us, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, how the Lord would have us to live. And the word love in these verses and these chapters are 100. I believe there's 106 verses, and the word love is used 28 times in 1 John by itself, and then 37 times in all those three books. So in that in checking those numbers, over a third of the verses contain something about the love of God or the love of man for each other. And the Gospel of John, of course, one of the other books that the apostle wrote, he uses the word love only 19 times in that fairly large book. And so 1 John is really dealing with the subject matter concerning this word called love. I just entitled tonight, John, the Witness of Love. And I believe he is that one that witnesses to us concerning the love of God. John's writings are probably the most favorite writings of most people, or many people rather, concerning the Word of God. There have been many, many small pamphlets handed out and printed and distributed just with the Gospel of John. I always tell a new convert the best book to begin to read is not the book of Genesis, but read the book of John. John gives us a detailed account about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John has been used for evangelism and for Christian growth. New converts are very wise to just sit down and read the Gospel of John and then read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Now, I do not recommend new converts to read the other writing of John. That's the book of the Revelation. It's a little bit more difficult and has many more things involved in that. But the scopes of John's writing is wide concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that one that we have in the gospel that declares to us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God without question. He tells us in the very first chapter that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so John is a defender of the faith when it comes to the life and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he chronicles the life of the Lord in his book called John. John's writing is in reference in the Lord's life. It's primarily his adult life. John doesn't give us the birth. John doesn't give us the some of the things that the other Gospels do. John just delivers the message that in the beginning that Jesus Christ was with God and now has become flesh. This epistle of John and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John are books that will give us an assurance of salvation. For it is 1st John chapter 5 that tells us in those words, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. And he goes on and says that ye may know that ye have eternal life. So 1 John is written to show forth the love of God to us and our love to each other, our love toward God. And then he gives us the understanding that what God has done, he has done it forever. It is an assurance that we can have in the work of the Lord. Of course, the gospel chronicles the life of the Lord, and it's centered around the different Passovers that came about in the 3 years of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything you read about Jesus in John's gospel is dealing with one of those two or three Passovers that Jesus attended in his earthly ministry. And so John gives us that. He gives us how to live. And then in the book of the Revelation, he reveals God's prophetic plan of how that we're going to leave this world and how that we're have a better place for us. And he gives some details of the latter days and the end days that are impossible for us to understand all the things that are written to us. So John is a writer that is inspired of God. He's a writer that knows the love of God. John is that disciple, the scripture says, whom Jesus loved. He is that one that was probably the closest of all the 12 disciples. He was that one, the Bible says, leaned on the chest of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he loved the Lord, and the Lord loved him, and God gave him inspiration to write these books concerning the love of God. And so love flows through every book that John writes. Even though Revelation is is not a book of love, it is a book of tribulation, it's a book of judgment. And the word love is not used but three or four times, I believe it is, in the entire book of the Revelation, but even in that it shows us how God loves us and going to deliver us unto Himself. And so tonight I want us to look at these few verses and we'll do our best to get through these things where that we can understand that John gives us a good witness concerning the love of God. Chapter 3, verse 1 that we read says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." What a wonderful thought it is that God would love me or God would love you. It's an amazing thing, and it's the grace of God that would even bring about love to a man to mankind. Because in the very beginning of time, in the book of Genesis, in the beginning, God created, and as He created this world and put everything into motion and set man in the garden, God knew that man was going to rebel against Him. God knew that he was not going to follow the principles that He would speak unto him. In Genesis, God spoke to Adam, and in the cool of the day, they would have their conversation. And God knew that Adam and Eve were not going to follow the directions that He gave them, but yet He planned a way of escape, not only for them, but thank God for you and I, because none of us are righteous, none of us are holy in our own aspect, and God has bestowed upon us, and what manner of love, what kind of love is that God would bestow upon us His love? John is first introduced to Christ in Matthew chapter 4. Let's turn back to the Gospel of Matthew, and it gives us where Matthew is introduced and Jesus, they come together. Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 21. Jesus is traveling. He's coming in verse number 12 from Capernaum, and He calls Peter and Andrew in verse number 18 and 19 and 20. And now we find in verse number 21, "And going on from thence, He saw two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother." Now this is John who will be the apostle. And the Bible says here that John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and He called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed Him. And so Matthew chapter 4 gives us where Jesus is bringing His disciples together. He sees these men that He knows they're certainly not strangers to the things of God. I believe the apostles were disciples or followers of John the Baptist, and they had heard the preaching of the gospel. They were in the kingdom of God. And Jesus, as He begins to bring His group together that's called the apostles or called the disciples, that is later known of as the church that is formed and put together, Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." And He's talking about those 12 apostles that He has called them. And there in John Matthew chapter 4, we find Jesus calling different ones. You have Peter and others, and then James and John. And as they were mending their net, as they were working with their father as fishermen, Jesus says to them to follow Him. And they laid everything down and they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. That was a big change in their personal life. Now this calling of them was not their salvation, but it was a calling of them to follow not John, but to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll find in the scripture that John said, "I must decrease, He must increase." John had a large group of people that was following him. He had many disciples. And out of that group of disciples, the Lord chose these men that would be His disciples and to formulate His church. And so when He comes and says, "Follow me," He's not necessarily talking about salvation. He's talking about service, talking about following the Lord Jesus Christ and doing as He has, as He asked them to do. So Jesus called James and John while they were working, while they were busy, while they were faithful with their work, and they had a call from the Lord, and they dropped their nets and they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And John began to be that one that was very instrumental in the working of the Lord Jesus and the working of the church. We know that Peter was the spokesman. We have no problem understanding Peter was always making statements, some of them good, some of them not so good, some of them right, some of them not right. But Peter was always, he was the vocal one. But I believe, and we know that inner circle, Peter, James, and John, those were the three inner circle disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter the spokesman, and John is that one that I believe probably is the underlying stability to all the disciples, because he understood what it meant to have the love of God in his heart and their heart. There was something about the call that John had that he could not resist. There's something about that love that God had shown unto him, that Jesus had bestowed upon him, and he writes about it. It says, what manner of love, what kind of love is it that the Father would bestow upon us? He's talking to we Christians, and that we should be called the sons of God. You and I tonight, we are privileged to be called children of God. It's a high calling to be understood to be as a child of God. John learned that without love, nothing could get accomplished. He wanted the Lord to call down fire on the Samaritan city in Luke chapter number 9. And of course, Jesus did not do that. Jesus expressed his love. He observed the Lord's love at the woman at the well. I believe John was probably there very close with that. And the disciples, as they traveled through, Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. And there he finds this woman at the well. And John sees love in action. John sees the forgiveness of the Lord. John sees the witness of even of the Lord, of the woman that's taken in adultery, that's found in the Gospel of John chapter number 8. So John in his life, John in his ministry, he saw all kind of types of love that the Lord gave to people. And when he thought about himself and thought about the disciples and really thinking about others that would follow, he says, what manner of love is this? It's a different type of love than the world had ever seen. It's a different type of ministry than the world had ever seen. And so John saw Jesus' love in action. I believe we see God's love in action when we see people come to know Christ. And when we realize what the Lord can do for them and what the Lord will do. So John witnessed the love of God in action. And he says, how is it and what kind of love has God bestowed upon us? He may have thought about something that he had written earlier that we have in our Bible that we understand, and we call it John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so John not only emphasizes, talks about love, but he emphasizes it. What manner of love is this? And God so loved. God gave so much. And so John was a witness to God's love. And he says, the world doesn't know us because the world doesn't know the Lord. And he said, we, in verse 2, behold, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We do not know what is ahead. We do not know the future. And we really, we can dream, we can think, we can speculate. All we know for sure about heaven is what the Bible tells us. And John says here, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know all the details. We don't. And people ask questions. We sometimes have questions. What kind of life, what will it be like in heaven? We don't know that. We're not there yet, but it won't take long to realize when we draw that last breath, we'll know what manner of love the Lord has bestowed upon us. We do not know what yet shall appear to be. But then he says, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, We don't know a lot of things, but one thing for sure we do know, we're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be in that pattern, that plan that he has given to us. And the Bible says, for we shall see him as he is. Now, John had saw him. John had been with him. John was that close disciple. But he said, we still don't know what we're going to be. We don't know how it's going to be, but we do know one thing. When he comes, when he appears, we're going to be just like him. And John recognized, John knew, and John had experienced the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so John witnessed about God's love. What manner of love has he bestowed upon us? Well, he's given to us saving love. That is a definite positive in our life, that he has given us eternity. And John witnesses those things concerning the love of God. Not only that, but in verses 14 through 18 where we read, we find that John witnessed about our love for others. If we love God, truly love the Lord, we cannot help but love others. That's just a natural trait for the child of God. Let's read those, some of those parts of those verses again. Verse 14. For we know that we have passed from death unto life. You know what that is? That's salvation. We know that we have passed from dead in sins and trespasses. Now we've been quickened, as Paul tells us, and we've been made a new creature. So we know that we have passed from death unto life. And the reason we can know that, according to John, is that because we love the brethren. We love children of God. Now we have a love and should have a love for the world. We should have a love for the world of sinners. But I'll tell you what, there's a close bond, a close-knit bond between God's people. And we know that we are children of God. We know that we have passed from death. We know that we have life because we have a natural love for the brethren or for other people of God. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. John just says, if you don't love the brethren, there's a problem in your life. There's a problem in the spiritual life of the child of God when we do not love Christians. I believe it's just natural to love the child of God. I believe it's just natural to have a close fellowship with people that love the Lord Jesus Christ. So the proof that we are saved, the proof that we are a child of God, is that we have love in our heart for those that are born again. This is the mark of salvation that is it's unmistakable. We can love, and we do love people. Sometimes when we just first meet them, we realize they're a child of God. They have a need. I want to help them in that. I want to give them those things that God's blessed me with, that I can show my love to them. And we cannot love God and hate the brethren. The Scripture tells us that over and over again. And so if we love God, we're going to love each other. It's just it's not debatable. If we have the love of Christ in our heart, then that love needs to be shown and expressed to those others that are lost. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And then he goes on and says he's a murderer. That's pretty strong language. John's pretty strong in his statement here. If we don't love the child of God, there's a spiritual problem in our life. There's a spiritual need that must be met. And it could be that we're really not a child of God because we know that we've passed from death to life. There's the proof. And if we love the child of God, our spiritual temperature is revealed on how we love people, how that we abide with folks, how that we follow the direction of the Lord. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God. How do we know God loved us? How do we realize, how do we understand this love that he has bestowed upon us? How do we know that? Well, he tells us here, because he had laid down his life for us. The reason I know that God loves me, He sent His Son. The reason I know that Jesus loves me is because He gave His life. The reason that I know I'm a child of God and we can know that we're children of God is because we love the brethren for whom Jesus died. And so worldwide, people that have been saved are a result of what Jesus did there on the cross of Calvary. So He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So John here makes the statement that if you don't love your brother, you're like a murderer. And on the other hand, if you love him, you will lay down your life, if need be, for the brethren. And so this bond of love is very important in John's life, his testimony, and his ministry, and it ought to be very special to you and I. Love for other Christians is a measure of our kindness toward them. We lay down life, livelihood, life things for those in the family of God. We give in order that others may have. We do for the child of God. We help the world that needs to understand, needs to see the love of Jesus Christ. We do that by the many different things that we have. America, for the most part, used to be at least, is a very compassionate country and compassionate people. I believe the reason for that is because we have the foundation of the love of God in our heart. I heard an individual say today that America is not compassionate. Heard a fellow say that America doesn't love. I beg to differ with them. You take countries that have problems and needs physically, America will give and give and give, and that's a whole lot because of the condition of the heart of God's people, and especially to those that are in need of the family of God. And so the need is there, and John says, we know that we're saved because we love the brethren. We know that we're saved, we know that we have God's love because He laid down His life. And now John says, follow the pattern. Be willing to give, be willing to go, be willing to do, be willing to have that manifest in our lives that others might see Christ living in us. Now turn over, if you would, to 1 John chapter number 4. I did not read these verses a while ago, but I wanted to end up the message tonight. Verse number 9, verse number 10. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation means a substitute payment. He sent His Son to be my substitute. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ to be my payment. The law said if a man sins, he must die. That's everybody. I preached the other night on the law, and how that the other day, Sunday, how that we cannot follow the law. We cannot do the law because the law condemns us as sinners. But thank God Jesus came one day, and now we have the message of salvation given to us in these verses. And this, he says in verse 10, here is love. Not that we love God. I'll tell you what, none of us in here tonight ever loved God first. God loved us first. God show His love to us. And really and truly, a lost person does not understand what real, true, compassionate love is all about. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a payment, to be a substitute for our sins. I wonder if John was maybe remembering in verse number 9, if he maybe he was remembering the words that he used in John chapter 3, only begotten Son. Three little words, most important, very important, and the word begotten is very, very important. A lot of the new versions, they leave the word begotten out. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That sounds good, but the word begotten means one and only. He's the only one that was ever like that. And so John's got it right. Our Bibles have it right. And John re-emphasizes once again here in this fourth chapter that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son. He is the one that is not like anybody else, and therefore we understand and we know love. It was manifest, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. That's what John 3:16 says. That's what 1 John 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, all those verses about the love of God, they tell us, and John nails it down here with this verse, that He is the same one that he talked about in the other book called John. The only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross is the greatest example of God's love of anywhere you would ever find. For on that cross, Jesus died. John stood there at the cross when all the others had left. John stood there with the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, with Mary. And John was that disciple that stayed close by. And John sees the Son of God giving himself, dying and shedding his blood. And John says, what manner of love? John says, we know that we love, that we have passed from death to life because we love. And then he says, he's the only begotten Son. He learned of that love as he walked with him, as he talked with him, and as he watched him die. So God gives to us life eternal through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The message of the cross is the message of salvation. It's not a feel-good message. It's a message of sinners dying without God going to hell, sinners dying with the Lord going to heaven. For He is the one that has given us His love. God's love is demonstrated in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for us, John says. Just for you and I. Thank God tonight, if you're a child of God, you can say without any doubt at all, He died for me. You can say that without any expression of doubt, because we know that John here in these words tell us that we know we're children of God because He died for us. And in that death we have eternal life. So John knows how to express. John knows how to give forth the message. And John knows how to be a witness, a good witness of the love of God. For he had it expressed in his heart. He had seen it in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to capstone the whole thing, John said, I saw him die. I was there. I heard him say, it is finished. Praise the Lord tonight. We have a great love that God has bestowed upon us. He's given to us that we can express it to others. So God loved us. We love God. And we love each other. That's the greatest expression of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together.